Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Friday Focus interview tomorrow. Jan Lesher will be here, the acting Pima County Administrator. She'll be our Friday Focus interview. I've known Jan, I think, for, I've been in town 34 years on TV and radio. I think I've known Jan probably for about 30 years. It'd be good to see her tomorrow. But right now, it's always good to see my friend, Attorney Don Luce of Luce Law Group with offices in Tucson and Phoenix. Mr. Luce, our legal contributor on the show, the author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Both books are in their second printing, but Don, first of all, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill.
But with Arizona Laws 101, you could probably put out a new edition every year based on the number of bills, and there have been a lot. Well, last session, a ton of bills, and a lot of them go to the governor to be signed into law.
That's true. In fact, I want to talk about a couple today. But last year, to your point, 1,774 bills were brought either to committee or to the floor.
What?
Yep. 474 of those bills went to the governor.
Mm-hmm.
The governor signed 445, vetoed 28, and let one take effect without signature.
Can you imagine?
And now, we only have a part-time legislature.
Yeah.
They convene every January, and they generally go 100, yeah, 100 days, April or May. Sometimes they go as late as June, depending on what's happening. But in that short period of time, 3 to 4 months, they're generating about 2,000 bills. It really is incredible.
Why in the world do we need 450 new laws in Arizona? I don't have any idea. But one bill that's not going to see the light of day, and a lot of people are really happy about this, even on our Monday political face-off where our two Republican and Democrat disagree on everything. I brought this up on Monday about this bill that would, in effect, allow the state legislature to overturn elections, and both of our guys here Monday said, no, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, and so before I talk about that, which is House Bill 2596, I'd like to point out that the House of Representatives now has 31 Republicans and 29 Democrats, very closely divided.
Mm-hmm.
2 years ago, it was 31 Republicans and 29 Democrats, so it's even more divided now than it was 2 years ago. The Senate has 16 Republicans and 14 Democrats, meaning that you pretty much need everyone in the majority party to be on board if the opposition party doesn't support the bill.
Mm-hmm.
So the one that got nixed, HB 2596, as you pointed out, would have given the legislature the incredible power of essentially questioning every election result.
Mm-hmm.
The sponsor of that bill was John Fillmore, a Republican from Apache Junction. And there were basically four separate pieces to the proposed legislation, because it's going nowhere, and I'll explain why in just a sec. Number one, it would have repealed laws allowing anyone to get an early ballot except only with those having an excuse, like being hospitalized.
What?
Yep. Right now, pretty much everyone gets an early ballot.
Yeah.
Two, it would bar all of the forms of early voting, requiring that ballots be cast only on Election Day. Three, it would prohibit the use of Election Day voting centers available to anyone within a county and restrict people to casting ballots only in their home precinct. And then four, as you pointed out, would require the legislature to call itself into special session after every election to review the ballot tabulating processes for both the primary and general elections, and it would permit lawmakers to, quote, accept or reject the election returns.
So much for the will of the people, right? It would be the legislature saying, the results were not the way we want it, so
now,
it's over.
Now, this is the part that I find most interesting. Instead of simply refusing to assign this bill to a committee for consideration, the Speaker, Rusty Bowers, assigned it to all 12 House committees, which would require that all 12 approve the bill before it goes any further. And I think everyone agrees that that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy.
Got
it's unacceptable.
He said, another
according
bill.
To Bowers, unacceptable. And I guess most people would think, I certainly think it's unacceptable. But go ahead, Don. There's another one. Actually, there's been quite a few kind of what is under the heading of voter reform bills at
right,
this session.
Right. Let's call these new rules about voting.
There you go.
This one is HB 2241, also out of the House. Unlike 2596, which essentially got killed by the speaker, 2241 is going to live to see another day. It was passed out of the House Committee on Government and Elections on a party line 7-6 vote. Now, under this bill, it would prohibit election officials from accepting already filled out early ballots at polling places unless the voter first provides identification. Now, in my mind, the curious thing about this is currently anyone who receives an early ballot and properly fills it out can either mail it or drop it off. Mm-hmm. You don't have to show ID. Mm-hmm. Under 2241, which, as I mentioned, narrowly passed the Committee on Government and Elections Committee on a party line vote, the voter, if the voter mails it, no ID required. If the voter waits until election day and takes it to the polling place, ID required. Hmm. And the ID would have to be something that shows the voter's name, and the name, of course, matches the name on the ballot affidavit. Now, if the person dropping the ballot off is dropping somebody else's ballot off, something that you and I have talked about before and some people call ballot harvesting or some form of ballot harvesting, then in addition to showing their own ID, they would also need to sign an affidavit stating that they are handling the ballot only from a family member, household member, or caregiver. Because as we've discussed in the past, those are the three categories of people that you can actually deliver a ballot for. So on somebody else's behalf, if they're a family member, household member, or caregiver, it's okay. Neighbor, unrelated, not okay. So we already have some rules about who can deliver a ballot for someone else. This would impose an additional requirement that the person delivering the ballot show ID.
And violation would be actually a felony?
A felony, potentially carrying a one-year prison sentence.
Hmm. Well, let's move on from the legislature to a topic we have not addressed in recent visits, which is kind of surprising because there was a time there we were talking about marijuana and marijuana laws almost every session. But my friend Eddie Salea of the Arizona Daily Star, who's been a contributor here on our Friday program, also covers the marijuana beat for the Arizona Daily Star, and he's got a new piece out in the Star about something called the issue surrounding social equity for marijuana licenses. What's this about?
This is a very interesting concept, and it was part of Proposition 207, which the voters enacted, basically legalizing the recreational use of marijuana for adults.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so as part of that proposition, there was a provision or a clause that said 26 licenses need to be set aside for people from communities disproportionately impacted by the enforcement of previous marijuana laws. So 26 licenses, and there are only somewhere in the neighborhood of 120 or so licenses, if I recall correctly. So this is a pretty significant.
This would be an additional
No, this is part of this is
part of that group.
Mm-hmm, that's my understanding.
Part of the group.
So 26 licenses for people from communities disproportionately impacted by the enforcement of previous marijuana laws. Hmm. That is what the voters said. That is how they spoke when they passed Prop 207. Now, so who makes sure that that happens, that actually happens? Well, in Arizona, it's the Arizona Department of Health Services. That is the agency that is charged with essentially regulating the marijuana industry within the state. And you'll remember that marijuana in Arizona first became a reality on a limited basis in 2010.
For medicinal purposes.
Purposes, when the voters passed the Arizona Medical Marijuana Act. Most recently, Prop 207 expanded that to essentially any use or purpose for adults. So 26 of these new licenses are earmarked for social equity, they're earmarked as social equity marijuana licenses. A lawsuit was filed by two groups, the Greater Phoenix Urban League and Acre 41, which I believe is a group of black female entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. And they were challenging the way that the Arizona Department of Health Services had adopted the rules for these 26 licenses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, why is that important? Well, one reason it's important is because each of these licenses has a market value of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
And they're freely transferable.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're lucky enough, oh, by the way, I should point this out. There are, how many applicants do you think would be
eligible for the 26
licenses? For the 26 licenses.
I don't know. I would think it'd be a very limited amount of number.
1,500 applicants.
That surprises
me. For 26 licenses.
That surprises me.
So if your lucky number comes up, you have effectively won the lottery or something just as good because these licenses are very, very valuable. Anyway, getting back to the litigation, which was brought in Maricopa County, the Superior Court judge found that even though the plaintiffs in the action objected to the rules that the Arizona Department of Health Services adopted, it was within their purview to administer the program as they saw fit, and he upheld the Department of Health Services rules, which means that there's almost a certainty that some of those licenses are going to go to large multi-state cannabis companies, which in turn, as I mentioned, have the right to immediately transfer them, and each one is worth millions of dollars.
That's Don Luce of Luce Law Group in offices here in Tucson and Phoenix. Don, thank you. Great to see you.
Thanks, Bill.
Don's two books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know, What All of Us Need to Know. Both books are in their second printing. On behalf of Don Luce, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Also, a big have a great afternoon from our buddy Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass. Dave Ramsey's very popular show, Talking About Money, one of the top-rated talk shows in the United States, follows the Buckmaster Show right now. Have a great day.